Originally, this year was supposed to be last Wednesday, and I was going to speak about Parshas Kisisa and a little bit of Chodesh Adar. This week is already Parshas Vayakel, so we're going to do a little Kisisa, a little Vayakel, and a little Adar. So everyone gets a little something extra. In Parshas Kisisa, we read this past Shabbos, we learned about the Shemen HaMishcha, the anointing oil. Very mysterious, the anointing oil. If you look in the first source, in Perek Lamed, the Torah describes, Shem says to Moshe, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, V'ata kach lecha b'somim rosh. Take the most outstanding spices, the choicest of spices. Mar dror means pure myrrh, 500 of pure myrrh. V'kinmon bosem machatziso chamishum asayim, u'knei bosem chamishum asayim. Take fragrant cinnamon. Kinamon, take cinnamon, which half of its measure is 250, so I guess its whole measure is also 500. Rashi explains why the Torah speaks in that cryptic way. And then take some fragrant cane, which also measures 250, and a whole list of spices. Okay. And then you put these spices together in some remarkable way, and you make the Shemen HaMishcha, the anointing oil, which will be used to bring Kedusha to unique individuals, to unique Kelim, to the Mishkan. And then the Torah offers the following warning. The Torah issues the following warning in the fourth line of Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Ve'al b'nei Yisrael tedaber le'mor shemen mishchas kodesh yiyeh ze li l'dor seichem. The anointing oil that was prepared by Moshe Rabbeinu is for me, is forever, says Hashem, for all generations. Al basar adam lo yisach. It shall not be used as a, if you have chapped hands in the winter or something like that. Please don't use, Hashem says, my Shemen Mishchas Kodesh. It's not what it's for. And then look at the next four words, and that's the key point I want to emphasize. U'v'maskun to lo sasu kamo. And to duplicate it in its measure, in its formulation, thou shall not do. Kodesh yalachem, it's a holy thing. And a person who tries to make it, says the last pasuk, ish asher yirkach kamo, a person who tries to compound, to make this mix, the exact elements that are combined to create the Shemen Mishchas Kodesh, such a person is Chayav Karis, a very heavy and severe penalty. Don't make, Hashem says, don't try to make my Shemen Mishchas Kodesh. The Shemen Mishchas, Moshe made it, it's for all generations. Don't try to make your own homemade version of it, and if you do, you're Chayav Karis. By the way, right after this, the Torah goes on and tells us how to combine the different spices of the Ketores, and also there's a warning. Don't you dare try to make the Ketores. Don't try to make your own incense offerings. Explains Rav Moshe Feinstein in the second source. A very simple question. Says Rav Moshe, historically, the creation of the Shemen HaMishcha, to be able to create it and to do it just right, required a miracle. Rav Moshe Feinstein asks in source number 2, L'chora lo mitztayer ha'efsharut, la'avor al iser mefaten es Hashem. It's not possible for a person, can't even imagine that a person could actually do this. And how do we know that a person can't do this? So Moshe says, Shirak b'neis nasis. Because even when Moshe was trying to get the ingredients just right, it required divine intervention, it required a miracle to make it happen. So why is the Torah telling us not to reproduce something that we can't reproduce? Does everyone understand the question? It makes a lot of sense. The Torah puts it on the books, as one of the 613, do not make your own homemade Shemen HaMishcha. Asks Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's not possible, so why does the Torah have to mention that? V'halo yasalo neis la'avor iser kares. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, Hashem is not going to make a miracle for you to violate the Torah and to be chayiv kares. Hashem is not going to help you make it happen. So essentially it can't happen. So why is it on the books? Explains Rav Moshe Feinstein in the left-hand column. Venira, Sha Isser, who the Isser, the prohibition, is not only not to make it because it's impossible, but not to even think about making it. And why does Hashem not want us to even think, not even contemplate making it? That it shouldn't even enter a person's machshava, that a person would want to what? To be engaged in the imitation of it. Lachkos asiyas Shemen HaMishcha, v'af she'efshar lavo mizeh lidei aveir b'poel. Even though you can't actually do it, Hashem is distancing us from even thinking about it. You know why? Because Hashem says, I don't want you. There's certain things that are not meant to be imitated. Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, "Lamadnu mizeh shekol chikoy hu sheker." That any imitation, when we're dealing with a davar shebekedusha, a very precise davar. Let me say it that way: a very precise davar shebekedusha, a very specific holy imitated, and Hashem doesn't want you to even contemplate imitating. It made me think. Probably the most precise davar shebekedusha that every one of us is involved with is our own souls. It's our own souls, it's our own existence. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make replicas. There are many, many statements in Chazal that say that very clearly. And we know we can't actually be someone else. The same way we know that it's not possible to make the Shem and the Mishcha. The problem is sometimes in our machshava, in our mind, we start to imagine, well, what if I could be more like that person or like that person, or what if this or what if that? And the Torah is telling us, as Rav Moshe Feinstein, chikoy is sheker, imitation is sheker. To make a fake version of the Shem and the Mishcha, right, is sheker. It's an avera, it's a serious avera. Kares, you've destroyed the essence of your being. And therefore the same thing is true for every aspect of developing ourselves. A person has to understand, every one of us has to understand. And I know I speak about this a lot, but it bears repeating because people think about this a lot. To be comfortable who I am, to be true to yourself, to be an authentic individual, to not be a cheap imitation of someone who you look up to. We need role models. We need people to inspire us. Everyone's a combination of a lot of different elements of people who we've met, people who are parents, who created us, the neshama that Hashem has given us. We're all influenced by our surroundings, but sometimes the danger becomes that we don't really know, when it's all said and done, what makes me me. And I fall into this horrible trap of trying to imitate someone else and to live a life that's not my own. Now we come to this week's Parsha. Bezalel is an unbelievable artist, maybe the greatest. And he has the ability to create remarkable things. The Mishkan was also. It wasn't natural. It wasn't natural art. There was a lot of aesthetic beauty, but there was also godliness woven into the very fabric of the Mishkan. So when the Pasuk describes in this week's Parsha, in source number 3, how Bezalel was this unbelievably creative architect of the Mishkan, an artist in many, many forms of artistry. The Pasuk says that Bezalel, enlisting his qualifications, Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur Lamate Yehuda, as he's called by the Torah, and one of the things that he's able to do, says the Pasuk, source number 3, v'lachshov machshavot, to weave designs, choshev, to weave designs, la'asos v'zahav uv'kesef uv'nachoshes, and to create things out of gold, out of silver. He was remarkable with all types of materials, right? Whether it was metals, whether it was different types of tapestry. He could weave things together. He had unbelievable artistic abilities. Rabbi Shlomo Kluger, in his commentary on Chumash, the Imre Shefer, says there are two types of artists in the world. Some people are not artists bichlal, but if you're an artist, if you have some artistic ability, it usually comes in one of two forms. There are people who can look at a picture and copy it very well. And could draw their own version. As long as you show me how to draw it, my daughter has this, she found like this website that she's crazy about. This website that teaches you like how to draw these really awesome cartoons. Right? And she's really good at it. So she watches this guy show her how to step by step how to draw these cartoons. That's a skill. A lot of people can't do that, can't even follow along. So says with Shlomo Kluger, there's some people who have an ability to what? If you show them how to do it, they can copy. That's one type of artist. And that's also a special thing. But that person can't work in the mic. That person cannot. Okay, we're out of battery. It's all good. I hate microphones. That person can't create their own art. They can't make up an idea. They can't figure it out on their own. Right? Show me a picture. Show me how to draw it. I can trace it. I can even copy it freehand. Show me the steps, or even just show me what it looks like, and I can make my own version of it. Right? But I can't come up with my own ideas. And when you see someone who creates something, it's a new idea, you wonder, wow, where did they get that from? So it says with Shlomo Kluger, there's a type of artist, in the third line, V'yesh uman gadol yoser, shu yachu b'machshavto uv'sichlo lios mamsi hamtsos chadashus. There's an artist who's able, can you hear me in the back? I'm doing okay? There's an artist who's, if I'm not, just like raise the roof signal.
or this, whatever, either way. So there's an artist who what? Who has the ability to create ideas in their mind, to create entirely new things. Mashalo hayu od la'olamim. Things that never saw the light of day before. Unbelievable. That's a much higher level of art, of artistry. So says Rav Shlomo Kluger, what was Bezalel? What was the Mishkan? When Bezalel made the Mishkan, he had the ability, again, the way that's typically translated, v'lachshov machashavot, means to what? To design, to weave designs. But also, of course, the word lachshov machashavot means to think thoughts, to have ideas, original creations. Bezalel ben Uri ben Chor Lamate Yehuda had the ability, explains Rav Shlomo Kluger, in the fourth line, right after it's bolted. V'lakach amar. The Torah is telling us, Lo mi bayi shahayu bekan, umnim mufhakim b'malachos, asher kvar nischadshu. The craftsmen, the people who were creating the Mishkan, led by that leader, Bezalel ben Uri ben Chor, his team of artists, they were not only the types of people who were able to copy and to be able to make replicas of things that already exist. Things that kvar nischadshu. Ela afilu what? Lachshov machshavot. To be able to think of new ideas, lasos, and then to do. Bizahav, uvakesef, uvanachoshas. Ratzalomar, umanim gedolim. Shal yedei machshavtam hayyecholim lasos hamtsos chadashos. New creations, entirely new ideas. And again, the message to us, I think, is so simple. Building a Mishkan. Hashem's greatest desire is v'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham, that every one of us should be a Mishkan. Not to be a cheap replica, not to be even a fancy replica, right? But to be something authentic, something entirely individual. Lachshov machshavos, be able to think for yourself. Of course, we're influenced by our surroundings. We should be. We should take input from others. But to be able to think in a fresh way, it's brewed to you because you are one of a kind. That's a very delicate thing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, failure to do so is chayiv karis. Not a punishment. Take yourself away from yourself. I read an unbelievable story recently. A little story, but for me, I'm very into this story. I read about a Rosh Yeshiva, I shouldn't say who it was, a very distinguished Talmud Chacham, great Rosh Yeshiva, who likes to have yogurt for breakfast. Okay. Whenever he eats yogurt, this thing that he does. It doesn't matter which brand it is, he has this thing that he does. He never finishes the yogurt to the bottom of the container. Anyone know why? So you could say, it's Zecher LaMikdash, we shouldn't enjoy the plate this world too much, right? He said the following. He said, why should the yogurt company dictate to me how much yogurt I should eat for breakfast? So whether it's a 6 ounce or 8 ounce or 4 ounce, why should they decide, when I wake up in the morning, why should some company decide how much yogurt I eat for breakfast? No, what do you think? I thought that was so amazing. There's so many things that we do because it's just like that's how it's being presented to us. So, if the bag of chips is 6 ounces, so I'll eat 6 ounces. If the bag of chips is, one of those supersized bags, so I'll eat one of those supersized bags, whatever it is. But why should someone else dictate how much I should eat, how much I should drink, and all the more so how I should think? To be an individual, to be able to say, hold on a second, I'm okay with input from the outside, but at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has charged me with the responsibility to be true to myself, to be an individual to myself. The great Rav Shimon Shkop, the great Rosh Yeshiva Rav Shimon Shkop, didn't like writing on lined paper. Because he felt, why should someone else tell me exactly how to write? How big to write? Where to write? Give me a blank piece of paper. Give me a canvas. I'll paint my own picture. Right? To be able to think in an individual way and to look deep inside of oneself. And again, to not make a replica of the Shemen HaMishcha, because you're more Kodesh than the Shemen HaMishcha. And to not allow your Mishkan to be just a replica, because the original Mishkan, the beauty and the grandeur of the original Mishkan was that it wasn't a replica, it was something real, it was something authentic, it was something individual. The Vilna Gaon describes in his commentary on Mishlei, in source number 5. He's commenting on a pasuk in the 16th parak of Mishlei. The pasuk says, La'odam ma'arche lev, a person arranges his or her thoughts, u'me'ashem ma'ane lashon. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu decides how things are actually going to go. But the Vilna Gaon, commenting on that pasuk, says a remarkable thing about the way that each and every one of us was created. The Vilna Gaon writes in source number 5, he's commenting on a series of 4 psukim at the beginning of the 16th chapter of Mishlei. V'sod ha'inyan shal arba psukim. Heim derech la'adam eich lisna'eg v'leilich b'ritzono yisbarach. These psukim where Shlomo HaMelech is debating and explaining to us how we try to forge a path and HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe directs us on a different path. And the struggle to figure out what is my path, what is my path, it's very Purimdik. Amalek attacks us where? Asher karcha baderech. When a Jew is trying to find his or her path, Amalek tries to say, no, this path is, why? I think this is my path. No, asher karcha baderech. Amalek tries to convince us, nah, someone else doesn't do that path. Why would you do that path? Your friend doesn't do that path. What makes you think that's a good path? A Jew has to know there's lots of different paths. Shivim panim l'Torah. Every neshama is created unique. There's a lot of different paths. There's a lot of different ways to go in avodas Hashem. That's why Mordechai, who of course is the hero of Purim, we'll get back to him a little bit later. But the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us, if you look at Mordechai's name, the letters of Mordechai's name can be rearranged to spell drachim, pathways, many paths. Amalek comes, Asher karcha baderech. You're on a particular path. Amalek says, you're not getting anywhere on this path, and there's no other path, so you might as well give up hope. Mordechai says, whoa, drachim, there are many paths. There's lots of paths. If this path doesn't work, we'll find a different path. All right, find the path that works for you. There's even a medrash in Shir HaShirim that says that when the Jews crossed the Yam Suf, you've heard the medrash in Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer that they traveled, each Shevet traveled in their own path. There's a medrash in Shir HaShirim that says every Jew traveled on his or her own path. As we were becoming a nation, each person was traveling on his or her own path through the Yam Suf. To make their way to Har Sinai. It has to be, of course it's a collective experience, but it's also a very individual and personal experience. So says the Vilna Gaon, when a person is trying to find his or her path in this world, ve'etza tova, and to seek good counsel, ki l'chol adam v'adam yesh lo derech b'fnei atzmo leilech bo. The Vilna Gaon says, every single individual has his or her individual path. And it's not the same as someone else. Ki ein datam doma zelizeh, because no two people think alike. Some people agree generally about things, but no two people agree to everything. No two people think alike. Ve'ein partzufeyim domim zelizeh, and no two people look exactly alike. The fact that Hashem made us different on the outside should also be a very clear reminder that we're also probably different on the inside. Right? If on a superficial level Hashem made us all look different, then probably on a deep level, we're all actually a little bit different. Seems fair to assume. In fact, the Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe, once said, there's a reason that the Gemara put these two statements next to each other. No two people think alike, no two people look alike. So the Ger Rebbe, the Beis Yisrael, said, he said, imagine, you're walking down the street, you happen to have blue eyes, and you see someone coming in your direction who has brown eyes. And you go over to that person and you say, you know, it really bothers me deeply that you have brown eyes. Don't you see that I have blue eyes? Don't you see that I have blue eyes? Like, what were you thinking having brown eyes? Right? So someone who said such a thing, we'd say they're crazy. Right? That's totally illogical, irrational, and just, it sounds psychotic. So the Ger Rebbe said, right. So the same Gemara that says no two people look physically alike, the Gemara says no two people think alike. So why is it we will go over to someone and say, I don't understand how you don't see it the way that I see it. It would be crazy to go over to someone and say, I have blue eyes, how dare you have brown eyes? That we all agree sounds crazy. So why do we think it's normal sometimes? Why don't we get it when someone has a different opinion than us? I don't get it. How could she see it that way? What do you mean? No two people think alike, no two people look alike. Your nose is different and your insides are different. The way you think, your mind is different, your heart is different. So says the Vilna Gaon, when a person acknowledges that no two people have the same derech, that no two people think alike, no two people look alike, ve'ein teva shnei b'nei adam shavim, and the nature, the inner and outer nature of two people is never the same. We could go to a Navi, and we could ask a Navi with his or her Ruach Kodesh, tell me, who am I? What does Hashem want for me? And a prophet could close his eyes, he could look into the heavens, and could say, this is who you are. It's revealed to me, this is what you're meant to accomplish in this world, this is who you are, the depth of your being, and then you can pursue it. But nowadays, we don't know. And we get confused, because we look around and we're trying to figure it out. and we compromise our individuality because of it. Says the Vilna Gaon, that's what the pasuk is saying. La'od ma'arche lev, u'me Hashem ma'ane lashon. A person tries to arrange a particular path, but Hashem says, I'm gonna show you that it's, you might have a certain cheshbon, why it's supposed to be. Hashem says, I'm gonna force you eventually to be you. Because that's why I made you you. I created you as you because I want you to be you. Let's go back to the Shemana Mishcha, and let's try to connect it to Par. There's a very strange Gemara in Meseches Chulin. The Gemara is trying to identify the characters from the Purim story in the Torah. The characters from the Purim story are not in the Torah. So the Gemara tries to find these strange Ramazim, these strange hints. Where is Mordechai found in the Torah? Where is Esther found in the Torah? Where is Haman found in the Torah? Very fascinating. So the Gemara says in source number 6, the Gemara in Chulin, Mordechai min haTorah minayin. From where do we find Mordechai in the Torah? Is Mordechai in the Torah? So the Gemara says, yes, Mordechai is hinted to in the Torah. It's the pasuk that we started this year with. It says that when you're preparing the what? The Shemen HaMishcha, you should have what? The best of spices, Bisamim Rosh, choice spices. And what was the first spice? Mar Dror, pure myrrh. Says the Gemara, Mar Dror hints to Mordechai. Why? Because if you look at the Aramaic translation of the words Mar Dror, Mitargaminan Mira Dachya. Mira, myrrh, Dachya, which is pure. Pure myrrh. But Mira Dachya looks like Mordechai. So, Mar Dror is a hint to Mordechai. What? Anyone? No, really, anyone? I don't have a thought? What does Mar Dror have to do with Mordechai? Spices play an interesting role in the Purim story. Right? If you pay attention, spices may be a secret theme that's interwoven into the Purim story, because smell has a lot to do with Mashiach, and Purim has a lot to do with, obviously, Geula from Amalek, right? But bigger picture, Geula really has a lot to do with Mashiach. The Medrash says that even when Mashiach comes, all the holidays are going to be batel, are going to be negated, but Purim is forever. Purim is lanetzach. Chuasam ha'isa lanetzach, like we sing after the Megillah. So Purim is very messianic, and Mashiach has a lot to do with smell. The Nevi'im described the Mashiach having a, he has the ability to smell Yirah Shamayim, Gemara in Sanhedrin, very, okay, could be. So Mordechai, he's the hero, along with Esther, who's also known as Hadassah. Maybe that has to do with Hadassim, they have a smell also. Okay, maybe it's something messianic there. Right, but why Mordechai? And why is he hinted to, again, based on what we're learning, that the Shemana Mishcha is never to be replicated? Mordechai was a remarkable individual. Mordechai was not just a good Jew. Mordechai was an unbelievably courageous Jew who knew how to think for himself. Who really, 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 in the most painful of ways, knew how to think for himself. We know that Haman wasn't into him, but also Klal Yisrael wasn't into him. Klal Yisrael thought Mordechai was dangerous. Mordechai, you're being too frum. Right? Just bow down to Haman. Mordechai, don't, and if you don't want to bow down to him, as I taught my shiur earlier this week, an amazing piece from Rav Dessler in the second volume of Michta Me'aliyahu, at least like don't start up with him. You don't have to incite him. You don't have to walk into like Haman's pathway. You know, like avoid him. Just like take a different road. And Mordechai is like, no, I'm very comfortable with who I am. I'm very confident in who I am. But Haman's getting so angry, he's going to try to destroy Klal Yisrael. There's Gezeiras Haman. What are you doing? Why are you starting up with this Rasha? Mordechai says, I know who I am. I know what my values are, and I'm confident, and I'm not scared. And the rest of Klal Yisrael didn't get it, but he didn't really care. Because Mordechai was maybe the most authentic Jew who ever lived. The pasuk says about Mordechai HaTzadik, as we sometimes call him, Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan Habira Ushamo Mordechai Ben Yair Ben Shimi Ben Kish Ish Yamin. Ish Yehudi. What is an Ish? Ish doesn't just mean he's a man. When we find in Az Yashir that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as an Ish Milchama, it doesn't just mean Ish is not just being used in that context as a man of war. Right? Ish means a certain. It's a term of endearment for dominance. The Mishnah describes that the proper way to speak to the Kohen Gadol was to say, Ishi Kohen Gadol, Sir Kohen Gadol. Ish means a master of something. So he's an Ish Yehudi. He's the most masterful Jew. He's a dominant Jew. He's a Jew through and through. He's an Ish Yehudi. He has complete mastery over what it means to be a Jew. And it says in the Megillah, when Haman is trying to malign Klal Yisrael, Haman says, Dateyem shonos mikol am. These Jews, right? Yeshno am echad, mefuzar, mefurad, there's the scattered people. And dateyem shonos mikol am. And the religion is different than others, right? They think differently. I saw on a sefer an amazing explanation. Dateyem shonos mikol am could be understood that the religion happens to have some different things. Or you could also read the pasuk, dateyem, right? Like dati. Their dat, dalitof. Their religion is, you know what their religion is? You know what it's all about? Shonos mikol am, being different than others. That's the essence of the religion. It's not just that the Jews happen to do some things differently. Much deeper than that. It's that the Jews make a point of saying, we don't do things just because it's popular. And no one was more courageous in doing that and taking a very uncomfortable position and being confident with who he was than Mordechai HaTzadik. Ish Yehudi, a masterful Jew, a true Jew, literally through and through. The Medrash says about Mordechai in source number 8, Yehudi, lama nikra shemo Yehudi, why is he called Yehudi? At the end of the pasuk he's called Yemini. Is he from Yehuda? Is he from Binyamin? The Gemara is trying to figure this out. What's his biological root? Which one of these terms is a term of honor, of endearment? Not necessarily saying what Shevet he's from. Why is he called the Yehudi? If he's really from, let's say, Binyamin, perhaps. So why is he called Yehudi? It says the Medrash, Lefi sheyichid shemo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu keneged kol bay olam. Because he was miyached the name of Hashem, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. He was willing to declare the oneness of Hashem keneged kol bay olam. There's an interesting medrash, the Yalkut Shimoni, that says that Haman wanted to hang Mordechai. Listen to this medrash. The medrash says, it's so perplexing. The medrash says that Haman wanted to hang Mordechai b'shas kriyashma, at the time of kriyashma. So I guess Haman went on to myzmanim.com or whatever, you know, and said like, Shushan HaBira, what time is Sosman kriyashma? I don't know if he followed the Vilna Gaon's opinion or the Magen Avraham, right? But Haman like calculated the Zman kriyashma. I wanted to hang Mordechai at Zman Kriyashma. What does that even mean? They even say, some of the deeper Sfarim explain, that how tall was the gallows that Haman created for Mordechai? It was 50 amos. It was 50 amos high. Why 50 amos? So, on a deep level, explain that we say Shema twice a day, right? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We say Shema in the evening. There are 25 letters in Shema. That's significant. It has a lot to do with a lot of things. Not for now. There are 25 letters in the 6 words of Shema, Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So if you say Shema twice a day, in total there are 50 letters of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shema. Haman built his gallows 50 amos high because he wanted, so to speak, to hang up Mordechai, B'shas Kriyashma, the one who more than anyone was the living embodiment of what? Of Shema, Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And just like Hashem is one, Mordechai says, I'm one. I don't care if 99% of the world sees it differently. I think for myself. He's called the Yehudi, says the Medrash. Yehudi, the Medrash making a play on words, a lashon of Yachid. Right? As the Medrash will say later on, you look at the last couple of words of the Medrash. Al tikri Yehudi, ela Yechidi. Don't read it Yehudi, read it Yechidi. He's a one-of-a-kind Jew. A courageous, one-of-a-kind Jew. The Medrash says he was willing to confront Haman when it was so unpopular. And he said, I'm not going to listen to the gaiva of Haman because I believe in someone who's Ram al kol goyim Hashem. Someone who's much greater. I submit myself to a much greater authority. And then the Medrash says about Mordechai, and this is also amazing, where it's bolded, V'yesh omrim shahayashakul ka'avraham bidoro. Mordechai was like Avraham. In what way was Mordechai like Avram? Well, what do we know about Avram Avinu? Avram Avinu was certainly a one-of-a-kind Jew. Avram Avinu definitely took an unpopular path in life. It wasn't his family's upbringing, family of idol worshippers. The Rambam says as a young boy, Avram himself was an idol worshipper. But he became a Baal Tshuva and he learned how to think for himself. And therefore the Navi Yecheskel says about Avram Avinu, in source number 9, Ben Adam Yoshve HaCharavos Ha'ila Al Admas Yisrael Omrim Lemor Echad Haya Avraham. Right? Echad Haya Avram. Avram was a one-of-a-kind Jew. Mordechai is a one-of-a-kind Jew. He's an Ish Yehudi. He's an Ish Yechidi. He was Miyached Kutchabrichu Ushchinte. He was the type of Jew who said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and was completely unwavering about that. Lo Yichra, Lo Yishtachave. Why is it in the future tense? The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, why is it Lo Yichra? It doesn't say Mordechai didn't bow. It says, I will never bow. Because Mordechai will never bow. Mordechai was very confident. There's nothing that's going to change. There's nothing that you can do that's going to take me away, that's going to take me away from my awareness of the Echad. The Echad of Hashem, and how that reflects in the Echad of my personal life. Let's learn a little Torah from Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. Rabbi Nachman wrote an amazing work called Likutei Maharan, the collected teachings of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. It's divided into two sections. And in the Hakdama to the second section, there's a tiny little paragraph called Echad Haya Avraham, commenting on that pasuk in Yecheskel. Let's learn it together in source number 10. It's a beautiful piece. It'll give you a lot of strength to make sometimes unpopular decisions in life. And we all have to. If we're going to be true to ourselves, we have to. Because again, if we're mefatim as a ketores, or mefatim as a Shem and a Mishcha, if we're making fake versions of ketores and Shem and a Mishcha, very holy things, Hashem says, you're chayiv karis. You're cutting yourself away from yourself. Says Rabbi Nachman in source number 10, Echad Haya Avram. She'avram Eved Hashem, or Avad Hashem, Rak al Yidei Shehaya Echad. Echad Haya Avram. What made Avraham the Eved Hashem that he was? It was his what? His connection to Echad. His willingness to attach himself to Echad. That he thought to himself, Shehu Rak Yechidi Ba'olam. Avram really lived in a world where he was a one-of-a-kind person. See, one of the problems that we have is we actually believe that there are a lot of other people who could kind of fill in for us. Do I really believe, when you came to this shir today, right? Did you really feel that this shir couldn't take place without you? Probably not. Nice amount of other people here, right? But from Hashem's perspective, Hashem says, no, like every single person who's here needs to be here for this to happen. And there's a reason that you're here. And you chose to be. And you could have said, well, you know, it's not like no one's going to show up. I mean, you didn't come just because you were felt bad for me, you were embarrassed, you thought I'd be standing here by myself. You figure one or two other people would come. Right? So you came because you felt that I need to be here. This is my place to be here. But you know, there's a lot of other people also learning Torah now. So like, it's not like if you're not here, the Torah is not being taught and not being learned. Avram literally lived in a world where if he doesn't recognize Hashem the way that he does, there may not be anyone else who recognizes Hashem the way that he does. He was extremely controversial. Avram took a very unpopular position in the world. In the second line, he did not look to see what other people were up to. There were people who themselves turned away from Hashem, and there were those who tried monimoso, to try to block him, try to prevent him. With self-sacrifice, Avram took a stand for what he believed. V'lo al aviv, he didn't pay attention to his own father. And I'm not encouraging anyone to, God forbid, rebel against your parents, but sometimes you see things differently than your parents. And sometimes making the most critical choices in your life is not popular with your parents. V'shar hamonim, and all sorts of other impediments. Raki'ilu hu echad ba'olam. Avram didn't say, I'm one of a kind amongst many people in the world. He said, I'm the only one in the world. Bishvili nivra ha'olam. Vizeu echad haya Avraham. Avram was a true echad. V'chein kol arotze lichnos b'avodas Hashem. Says Rabbi Nachman, the same thing is true for anyone who wants to what? Have a real connection to Hashem, because Hashem doesn't make replicas. Hashem didn't mass produce us. The Gemara says what's so unique is that Hashem does somewhat use a similar stamper to create every person, whatever that means, and yet we still come out unique. Everyone comes out differently. Ein partzufeim domim zel lazeh. Our faces don't look the same, but ein dateim domim zel lazeh. So if a person wants to enter into serious avodas Hashem, e'ef shelo lichnos kim al yidei b'chinas sheyachshov she'ein ba'olam kiyam hu levado yichidi. The only way to have a serious entrance into avodas Hashem is to see yourself, no, there is no one else learning Torah right now. My Torah is significant enough to keep the world spinning. My tefillah is significant enough to make a difference in the person that I'm davening for. To really believe that. Because if not, your Avodas Hashem is going to just be what? Min asafa v'lachut. It's going to be superficial. It's going to be lip service. It's going to lack the depth, and it's going to be an imitation. It's going to be a copy of real davening. There was someone who was davening. There was a fellow who was davening one Sunday morning. And he's putting on his tefillin. And he took his little son to shul that morning. Yeah. And his son is, you know, watching his father daven. And he's taking the straps of the tefillin shal rosh that hang down. And the kid, as he's sitting, you know, on his father's lap, whatever, he's wrapping the strap of the tefillin shal rosh around his arm. Because he sees his father's tefillin on his arm. It's very cute, very sweet. And he's sitting there with a little sitter. Right? So the father, and he wrote this in an article, he says to himself, he says, wow, it's so cute to see that my child is pretending to daven just like me. And then he said it, he repeated the phrase to himself, and he said, wow, is my child pretending to daven just like me, or is my child pretending to daven just like me? Right? Am I actually davening? Like, my kid's just pretending to put on tefillin, but I'm really putting on, but am I really putting on tefillin? I know I'm wearing them, but am I really putting on tefillin? Ki'ilu, like it actually matters? Does my Shmona Esrei matter? Does my Limud Torah matter? Does my Chesed matter? Am I just again part of this mass production called Klal Yisrael? Or am I also a Yachid? Am I an Ish Yehudi? Am I an Ish Yechidi? Am I an individual in the world? And Avram Avinu was such a person. Avram Avinu is referred to as Avram Ha'Ivri. Why is he called Avram Ha'Ivri? The Medrash tells us in source number 12. He's called Avram Ha'Ivri in Parshat Lech Lecha. Quite a few answers in the Medrash. Right? Rashi says because he's from Eivor HaNar. But explains the Medrash in source number 12. He's called Avram Ha'Ivri, Rav Yehuda Omer. Kol ha'olam kulo me'eiver echad, v'hu me'eiver acher. Avram was from the other side of the river. Avram, so to speak, drew a line in the sand. And Avram Avinu said, I'm ready to take on the whole world. I see things differently. Neged the whole world. Avram Avinu is ready to take on the whole world. You know what we say in Birchas HaTorah? We say, Talmud Torah keneged kulam, right? Talmud Torah keneged kulam. What does it mean? We have a lot of mitzvot that we do, and this mitzvah gets a reward in this world, and this mitzvah gets a reward in the next world. V'talmud Torah keneged kulam. The Pasha Pshat, of course, is what? The Talmud Torah, that the study of Torah, keneged kulam, is compared to all the other mitzvahs combined. It's the greatest mitzvah. It's the most important mitzvah, learning Torah. It's the holiest mitzvah. Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Okay. But you know what else it means? You know what else it means? Talmud Torah, when I learn Torah, I gain a confidence and a courage and a clarity to be brave enough and strong enough and clear enough in my relationship with Hashem that if I have to be keneged kulam, if I have to be opposite everyone, if I have to do something that no one else agrees to, but I know this is what Hashem wants and this is what the Torah wants, Talmud Torah, the study of Torah, gives me the courage to be keneged kulam. To be like Avram Avinu, ki kol ha'olam kulo. Me'ever echad. He was Avram Ha'Ivri. Avram, he always thought differently. He saw things completely differently. V'hu me'ever echad. He's on the other side of the river. You know who else is on the other side of the river? Who else is going back and forth across a river? It's Mordechai. Mordechai also, there's some interesting scholarship about, you know, Shushan versus Shushan Abira. Maybe you've heard a shir on that before. Right? The Megillah sometimes talks about Shushan, Shushan Abira. Maybe they're two different places. Right? Archaeologically, it seems that there's actually proof of that. There was Shushan Abira, there's Shushan, the capital city, and then there's sort of like regular Shushan, where commoners live, and Mordechai seems to be going back and forth between Shushan Abira and regular Shushan, and every time Mordechai goes back and forth, and again, there's archaeological evidence to prove such a point, Mordechai seems to be crossing back and forth over some type of river, some type of body of water. In fact, Chazal even say it explicitly. But it's a weird Chazal, because you don't understand. Why did Chazal tell us this? The Pasuk says in the second to last source, Vayavor Mordechai. Vayavor Mordechai, Vayaska Chol Esher, Tzivsa Olav Esther. Vayavor Mordechai. Mordechai, Vayavor. And Mordechai passed over. What did he pass over? So the Gemara has several opinions. Look at the first one. Vayavor Mordechai. Says the Gemara in the final source, Amarav, Shehevir Yom Rishon Shel Pesach B'Tanis. Mordechai was so scared for Klal Yisrael. The situation, Yod Gimel Nisan, was when Haman cast his lots. They had a full year until they were actually going to be destroyed. Basically, a full year. It was on Yod Gimel Nisan that Haman cast his lottery. So Mordechai, that Pesach, right, the Leil HaSeder, 2 days later, Mordechai was Vayavor. What does it mean, Vayavor Mordechai? Shehever Yom Rishon Shel Pesach B'Tanis. Mordechai gave up the mitzvah of eating matzah. Mordechai passed up his Pesach Seder that year, and he fasted on Pesach. That's how gloomy the situation was. That's how scared Mordechai was, and that's how immediately he felt he needed to respond, that he did what would be called an Avera Lishma. An Avera Lishma. He gave up the mitzvah of keeping Pesach in order to what? Vayavor Mordechai, because he needed to fast. He felt it was such a serious situation. Okay, Vayavor Mordechai. Vayaskechol asher tzivsa lav Esther. He did what Esther told him. Okay. Says Shmuel, a second pshat. Says Shmuel, the avar arkuma demaya. He crossed over a puddle of water. That's the pashup shot. He crossed over a body of water. Rashi explains the avar arkuma demaya la sofa yehudim shebe'eva asheni. He crossed over the water. Why is the Gemara telling us this? So again, historically, archaeologically, now we know maybe there was actually some body of water that Mordechai was going back and forth across. And why is the pasuk telling us this? Why do I need to know that Mordechai crossed over a body of water to gather Jews? Because the same way the Medrash told us, going back to source number 8, that he was Shakul Ka Avram Avinu, he's a Yechidi like Echad Haya Avram. So I'd like to suggest that just like Avram is Avram at Ivri, Avram knows how to be on one side of the river, so to speak, when everyone else is on the other side of the river. Mordechai also, Vayavar Mordechai, he's also Mordechai HaIvri. He's Mordechai HaYehudi. He's Mordechai HaYechidi. Echad Haya Avram, Echad Haya Mordechai. Mordechai also understood, I got to go across the river, I got to go to the other side, and I got to recruit Jews to see things the way that I see things. Because I'm a tzaddik, and I learn Torah, and I have a true, authentic perspective on what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. And I'm not going to compromise that. I'm going to work to recruit people to my side. Vayavar Mordechai, he's Mordechai Ivri. The Gemara is telling us, and really the Pasuk is telling us, Mordechai is like an Avram Avinu. And there's so much we can learn from that. Again, to understand the individuality with which each of us have been created. I'll just end with a Pasuk in Tehillim. It's not on the page in front of you. But the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Hatzila Micherev Nafshi. It's Tehillim Chaf Beis. It's actually the parak that supposedly Esther said on her way into Achashverosh, and it's supposed to be part of the Shir Shal Yom. We recite it on Purim morning. Tehillim Perek Chav Beis. Lam Natzeach Al Ayelas HaShachar. It's a reference to Esther. Esther Davin, this is her tefila. Hatzila Micherev Nafshi Miyad Kelev Yichidasi. I'll say it again. Hatzila, save Micherev Nafshi, save my nefesh from the sword. Hatzila mecherev nafshi, miyad kelev, from the hand or the grasp of the dog, yichidasi. It's such a Purim Dika pasuk. I mean, it's a Purim Dika parak of Tehillim. First of all, the Svarim point out Hatzila mecherev nafshi. What are the first three letters? Hatzila mecherev nafshi. Haman. Miyad kelev yichidasi. Why a yad? The yad of the dog? Yes, yad is what a malik emphasizes, ki yad al keiska, the pasuk at the end of B'shalach. The hand of a malik is on the throne of Hashem. And who's compared to a dog in the midrashic literature? It's a malik. So Esther Davin, save me from the Hamans of the world. Hatzila micherev nafshi. Rashi Tevos Haman. Miyad kelev, save from the dog that is a malik. What? Yichidasi. Yichidasi, of course, means save my soul in a deep way. But it also means save my individuality. Because a malik likes to lump people together. A malik says, well, you know, la rog, la abed, men, women, children, young, old. There's like not really a chilek. A Jew is a Jew, and they're all the same. And Esther Davins is not true. Yes, on the one hand, Esther Dafka brings the Jews together. Leich kinos kol ha-Yehudim. Right? So maybe Esther represents a certain achdus, but Mordechai represents a certain individuality. Mordechai ha-Ivri. Echad haya Avram, Echad haya Mordechai. To be a true individual and to be able to confront the Hamans of the world, the Amalek of the world. To be able to look our Yetzirah in the face and say, you're not going to just make me regular and average. Ashar karcha baderech, I'll just be, you know, a regular person on a regular path in life. I'm going to find an individual, a unique path. Mordechai osios drachim. I leave with one thought. Why do we wear costumes on Purim? I always tell my students, and I end with this. You know why we wear costumes on Purim? Why are people walking around on Purim dressed up like, you know, giant bananas or bears or clowns or princesses, basketball players? I think the reason we wear costumes on Purim is so that by the end of Purim, when Purim's over, I can finally take off the costume once and for all. It's not so much about wearing the costume on Purim, it's that through the process of Purim, I come to what? To take off all the costumes that I'm wearing. All the layers of the levushim, where I'm trying to be a certain thing, which is just not who I really am. And I come down to the core of who I am, the essence of my being. So Mir Tzashem, we should have the courage of the Mordechais, of the Avrams of the world, to be able to think for ourselves, like the Rosh Hashiva, who says, I'm not going to eat the yogurt just because some company put it in the cup. I'm going to eat the right amount of yogurt for me, and I'm going to write on the paper, like Rav Shimon Shkup, where I decide to write on the paper. Those are silly examples, but to be a real yachid, to think for yourself, to create a mishkan that's original, and to not, God forbid, to live a life of falling into the trap of imitation. Okay? Everyone should have a freilich in Chodesh Adar. Thanks for being here. Thank you. You're very welcome.